So we're getting close to the mirror. Obviously there's a lot of personal sense of it. The Meir Yeshiva itself went through the different kufis that sort of embodied the kufis other yeshivas went through, but much bigger. The Meir Yeshiva, by the time the war came, was the biggest yeshiva in Europe, the oldest Talmidim, considered the cheshevster by everybody, and was a musik. It stood as a concept of its own. It was founded about 200 years ago. That's what the official documents say. It was founded by a Yidah Balabas. His name was Tukhachinsky. Not much is known about him. He founded the yeshiva, headed it. His son headed it. And then there was a lull. And then he had a son named Shmuel Chaim Tukhachinsky, Chaim Leib Tukhachinsky, who was extremely chashev. And he set the tone for the Meir Yeshiva. He established the Meir as a very important yeshiva. It started after Volozhin, and it was second in importance to Volozhin. It slowly started kind of going downhill, and it was recognized that the yeshiva is sort of not keeping pace with the modern world. They brought in the early 1900s, they brought in Reb Eli Baruch Kamai, who was one of the Goinei Ador, to infuse it, to give it a central figure of stature that would attract Bachrim, would make the learning more alive, etc., etc. He brought in his own son-in-law a few years later, and there was Reb Lezer Finkel. Reb Lezer Finkel was a son of the Alta Slabatka. His godless lay in knowing how to navigate yeshiva, what kochos to bring in, what to emphasize, and so on. He was an incredible person on his own. He was a bucky in everything called Terikula. But more than anything else, he understood what they need. He understood what type of learning. He understood the kochos that are needed. He brought in Musa learning. It wasn't something that himself spoke ever Musa or said drashes or vadim, but he brought in Reb Yeruchim to be able to make it a starker place. Reb Yeruchim was there two tkufas, an early tkufa and in the 1900s, and then left and came back later. He also paid money for Bracham to come learn in yeshiva, and he knew which Bracham to get it to bring in. He brought in groups of Bachrim from many different yeshivas. Grodno, Kletsk, Kamenitz, Mailas, other places. And it created a yeshiva that was sort of a mega yeshiva. In other words, the important center of the yeshiva was not Reb Lezer Yudel per se. It was the older Bachrim, the talking and learning between the Bachrim, the mutual hashpa the Bachrim had on each other. There was a certain sense of competitiveness of different chaburas, and that made the yeshiva great. Reb Yeruchim came back in 1924, was retaken as Mashgiach, and he had left and was a Slabatka during the war years and so on, and Reb Yeruchim really was the one who hand-in-hand transformed the yeshiva. Reb Yeruchim understood people as nobody else would understand. He was incredibly wise and shrewd, and he maneuvered the olam to learn. His shmuzim were world-renowned, and people were drawn to it tremendously. He knew who to be merachik, who to be makarev. And in those years, between 1920 plus to 1940, the Meir Yeshiva was the yeshiva. It absorbed the best bachrim from the other yeshivas. Reb Yeruchim created a certain type of musar that spoke to bachrim that were lomdim. The shittas and the days and the hashkafas that he developed had a certain type of depth that sat very well with Bachram, that were very smart and deep, and they were the ones, and they set the tone for the yeshiva. Reb Lezi Yudel was the one who pulled and pushed. He knew which chaburas of Bachram to bring in, how to mashpi on the yeshiva. He himself in the 1920s was started feeling that there's too much iyun and Bachram not learning enough. And he was very famous. He made a contest, not really a contest, but a campaign. I think it was in 26, if I'm not mistaken, where if a Bacha will finish in 1 year, Ksubis, Baba Kama, Baba Metzir, Baba Basra, and be tested by Lizul, by others, and know it, he'll give them $50, which in those days was a sizable sum. So at 20 Bachram started it, 10 finished, and they were able to be tested in 1 year on these three, the four Masechtas. Incredible. But that was very much, and Rebbe Lizul always, he would pull and push. He would draw people into the yeshiva, and then he would demand of them, this guy should say chaburis, this guy should learn more, this guy should know more. Rabbi Yerucham did the same in terms of Bachrim's understanding. He was less concerned with Bachrim doing things wrong, because there wasn't such a type of olam so much in the mirror. But he was a lot more concerned with Bachrim developing Ashkafas Chayim that fits Uriah's Bnei Torah. The level of Ishmuzin and his interaction with people were incredible. There was another part to the Mir Yeshiva that was fascinating. The Mir Yeshiva held itself to be an elite yeshiva. Only the best of the best came in. Reb Lezuna made an exception for Bachram coming from countries that were not developed in Yiddishkeit. Americans, German, Dutch, South African. He took in those Bachram. It was an incredible culture shock. Mutual culture shock in the Bachrim and the yeshiva. One guy described to me that they were walking, a group of Americans were walking with Europeans in the street. A group of locals started up with them. The Americans rolled up their sleeves and started throwing punches. The Europeans were aghast, and so on. The Minhagi America did not sit well with Europeans, but at the end, they had a mutually beneficial influence on each other. Rabbi Yerucham made it that Bachram, older Bachram, Chasher Bachram, would learn with American or Germans and so on. And some of the Americans and Germans had the Chashevster, Rabbi Malin, Rabbi Neminska, they all had these chavrusas for a Seder. And it created a tremendous core of American Bnei Torah and German Bnei Torah, which were the seeds for a certain level of Bnei Torah in America. He created also a certain avenue so that people, Chashev and Bachram, who needed help and so on, they had people in America to turn to. There was something there that created a bridge that was really remarkable. And it had a lot of shaykhs with Reb Lezuna's understanding of how important it is to provide for others as well, for America, for Germany, for South Africa, Holland, all the places that had no set yeshivas, and the Bachram would come knowing not much. That was the Mir Yeshiva. So by the time the war came, the Mir was like Lakewood be today. People came to when he finished with everything else. Reb Lezi Yudel's input was the navigation of who to bring in, pushing the Bachram, pulling the Bachrim and so on. He raised an incredible amount of money. The yeshiva was very big, well over 300 Bachrim, close to four, and he was constantly pushing more and more. Reb Yerucham was nifter, I believe it's 35, 36, and because the date is, it's summer, I've never tried to translate dates, right, you're right, 36. And basically, there was kind of a setback for the yeshiva. Reb Chaskel, for a short while, the son stepped in. There was there were some issues of who would be the one to step in. Rav Chaskel stepped in, and the young Dor accepted him as their mashgiach, as their Rebbe. The older Dor, you know, stood back a bit, and that was the mirror where the war came. When the war came, there's a famous story that they're going to Shanghai, and I'm not going to speak about that now. But after the war was over, he rebuilt the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael from nothing. He had no bachurim to bring there. He had no resources. His gevurim lived had lived in Ukraine and Belarus and Russia. There was nobody to go to over there. He himself was already probably 60 years old, easy. And he really was an amazing Yesh Mahayim in his rebuilding. His Talmidim became Lamais and the Rebbeim the next door. Almost every Rosh Yeshiva in America, in the Lithuanian Yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, and so on, had learned the Yeshiva. These were the products of the Mi Yeshiva. The Torah that he set in the Mir really encompasses the world. It became the Mi Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, with its thousands of Amidim, and it became almost every the Yeshiva. That was his mahus. A lot of stories about him that I could say over. I don't want to go on and on, but Akapanim, in many ways, the Meir Yeshiva represented the schmitz of the culmination of this of all these yeshivas that we see. I want to finish with an anecdote that I've told over many times, and you've heard it, but it's still very much part of I guess the way we see things. There was a Yid in Azabira who lived in Azabira, an American who had gone to the Meir Yeshiva. In the 30s, came back and got married in America, and they retired and came to Israel to live. He was sitting shiva for his wife, and we were sitting around, and waiting for Mincha, whatever. And there was a person there who was the secretary of the European Conference of Rabbis. And he told somebody else, they're giving back the Meir Yeshiva, the building to the Meir Yeshiva. So this person turns around and he says, it's a lie. So he said, no, we had a team of lawyers, they sat with the lawyers at Belarus government, and we worked out a contract and worked out a deed, and we're holding by signing his name. This guy said, it's a lie. He says, no, it's happening, it's a lie. Finally, he turns and says, what do you mean? What do you know? He said, are they giving back Rav Yoina Minska? He was the Chashev Stavach in the Mayor. Are they bringing back Rav Leib Malon alive? He says, the bricks and the stones, let them keep it there. We don't need bricks and we don't need stones. I want the people. That was very, very much the ruach of the way my Rebbeim looked at it. I mean, I guess coming here was something wouldn't have been on their agenda. But for us, we don't have much more than that. The Mela, at least getting a sense of it, being able to touch something tangible, at least connects you in a more tangible way. But the ethos of that yeshiva world was a very, very, very little connection with the material parts of anything, and a much bigger connection with the ruchnius of things, and the content of things, the substance of things. But Akapanim, for us, even getting a little bit of a feel for the substance helps us get some sense of the ruchnius.